Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Thank you very, very, very much. It's always greatly appreciated. Hello, my name is Keith Teedy. I'm the host of New Media Central Podcast. It's a weekly podcast. And this week I'm talking about, we have an incredibly important election coming up in a couple of weeks, less than 2 weeks now. The thing about it is, we have a choice. We can vote for Kamala Harris, and in doing so, we will ensure that we are controlled and governed and run by a very, very few number of people. I call it the machine. It's an infinitesimal small amount of people that are running everything. That's what they want. They have this power desire, control desire. They have it strongly, and there's a group of them that get together and ensure that a vote for them is a vote so they can continue this control over all the lives of every American and even the lives of other people around the world. That's not good. We flat out do not want that. We don't want that. I promise you, even if you don't know it right now, even if you can't understand it, we don't want it. And the problem is, if, you know, 10, 20, 30 years down the road, if we make the wrong choice here, we're going to look back and go, wow, we used to be a free country. Now we're just like all the other countries that have dictators in charge. And it's not good for the general public. It's very, very, very bad for the general public. On the other hand, we can vote for the guy, President Donald Trump, who will get us away from that. We stand alone in this country, different from every other country in the world, in that we are free. Still, even though the machine is really trying to take it away from us, our freedom, we are still a free country. I want to keep it that way. I want this country to be the beacon of hope for all the other countries in the world, for all the other people in the world. They can look over here with, you know, with the internet and the computer and the ability to know what's going on every square inch of the planet, almost. I want the rest of the world to look at this country and go, wow, they've got something there. They've got freedom. The people in that country can do whatever they want. You know, hopefully, it's good, but there's laws, of course. We can't drive 200 miles an hour down the road, and we can't kill people. And, of course, we have laws, but our laws allow us to be free, free from dictatorship. It's a good thing. We have to decide. It's up to us. This upcoming election, November 5th, or pre-voting, which I don't like, disagree with what we are dealing with now, but we have to decide. Do we want a free country where people can do what they want? And people around the world will look at us and just like back in the day when everybody wanted to come to America, it'll be that way again. We won't have open borders with Trump. They won't be able to just waltz in whenever they want to. We will allow the smartest and most motivated people who want to come here and work here and improve everything here, which improves everything in the rest of the world. It's up to us. We decide. Do we want freedom or do we want tyranny? Thanks for listening. This upcoming presidential election is so extremely critical to the survival of the American experiment that we can't even comprehend the scope and breadth of it. The two candidates are polar opposites, and we have to choose one of them. That decision will determine whether we live free and independently or under the grip of a totalitarian regime. We have always had to fight for our freedoms and our independence in this country, and that is being tested right now. This election will point us in the direction we will have to endure for many years. I hope we choose wisely. Kamala Harris represents the machine. Though she has no platform, and no one knows exactly what she stands for much of her political history, her actions and her voting record show that she has a propensity to lean in a certain way in certain situations, from left-wing to far-left-wing to Marxism. Among other things, the Harris platform includes packing the Supreme Court, eliminating the filibuster rule, and all the constitutional amendments, especially the First and Second. These things alone should alert you to the fact that she is the machine candidate. In a recent statement during a CNN town hall on October 23, 2024, Harris mentioned the need to take a look at the filibuster. Meaning, she will do whatever it takes should the votes to codify Roe v. Wade come up short. Harris also said she was for mandatory firearm confiscation, which is a huge red flag if you're concerned with infringements on the Second Amendment. That's a vital amendment for protection from predators, foreign and domestic. Her hatred for the First Amendment started rearing its ugly head publicly way back a decade ago in California when she used lawfare against political opponents, threatening to punish nonprofit groups that refused to turn over unredacted donor information. Of course, they did that because they wanted to know the names of the conservative donors. Yeah, it's a joke when Harris calls President Trump a fascist and that he has said he would be a dictator. Yeah. We all know what he said and what he meant back on December 7, 1923, when he said that he would reverse much of the harm done by the Biden administration on the border and energy on day one of his term and only day one. It's an example of how they take the truth and twist it around, try to make President Trump look bad. Harris and the machine have already shown a desire to violate constitutional amendments, i.e., Fourth Amendment rights, which protect citizens from unreasonable searches and seizures, were violated during the raid on Mar-a-Lago. They violated the Eighth Amendment when New York Attorney General Letitia James ruled that President Trump must pay nearly $500 million, that's billion with a B, in fines, and they banned him and his sons and others from serving as an officer or a director in all of New York firms for 3 years. That's not only unreasonable, it's insane. Their lust for power sent them right over the edge, and this clearly demonstrates that. So why should we care about a massive cover-up of a political machine that wants to take away our guaranteed freedoms? The United States used to have absolute sovereignty, meaning that we were completely independent of any other political entity. We spent countless time, blood, and treasure ensuring that we stay that way. Now, we have to fight a political entity that is right here among us. A group of people who think they are the smartest, most entitled people on the planet. A machine that attracts the most talented people to ensure they have a lock on the power that they crave. If you're not a member of this infinitesimally small group, you're fodder for exploitation. The machine has the benefit of all the intellect of all of history at their disposal, because of the ability of computers to never forget anything, and they also have algorithms that collate that information. It can be used to benefit or destroy humanity as we know it. That is why AI can be so massively good or massively bad. It all depends on who controls this incredible tool. That is why we have to ensure that we don't end up as slaves to a regime that is putting everything they have into this pivotal election. We are deciding in less than 2 weeks what our country will look like going forward, a great, generous, and fearless presence that is good for the entire world. Or are we going to be a country run by power-hungry monsters who will do anything and sell out everybody in the entire world to achieve their goals? This election will shape our legacy as either a free nation or one controlled by an elite few. So what's at stake? We are the greatest economic power the world has ever seen. In our history, we have risen above the rest of the world in every metric, including freedom, our glowing cities, our national parks, our innovations, our cultural influence throughout the entire world, and our wealth and economic prowess. We have been blessed to live in this country that offers so much abundance. Sadly, we have gotten so used to it that we take it for granted, but we can't continue to do that. I have often wondered, how can half of this great country even think about voting for the machine? Well, it's because we've gotten lazy, and anyone offering a free ride is good enough to get a vote. This can't be the standard operating procedure for this country. We've always been strong and ready to fight for our independence and our freedoms. We can't stop now. As a human race, most of us want to improve our lives while also improving the lives of every other human. We are at a global crossroads for human development. Our nation teeters at the top of a metaphorical mountain, with one side promising growth and freedom, and the other side control and restriction. Temporarily putting aside that fact that we're voting for our national existence, a fact that in and of itself should give President Trump a landslide, I've always said that the top issues of this presidential campaign are the economy and the border. In this episode, I'm including a piece about health care because of all the ways it impacts and is impacted by both our economy and our porous borders. First, the economy. This topic is so huge, with factors such as trade deficits, budget deficits, excessive consumption, inflation, record low saving rates, interest rates, unemployment, and much, much more. I'm going to keep it brief, and I promise to have an entire podcast or podcast devoted to the subject and all the great things of the U.S. economy and all of the bad things of the U.S. economy. That being said, all presidential campaigns for the last several decades have known this. It's the economy, stupid. It's a phrase coined in 1992 by James Carville during the Clinton campaign as obviously the most important campaign issue for most Americans, and rightly so. We all want to have low prices for goods and services compared to our incomes. Regardless of all the different ways the machine has tried to convince the American people that Bidenomics is good, we all know in our heart of hearts that we were much better off during the Trump administration. Again, how can half of the country look at that reality and still be in favor of the machine? I don't get it. Now, we move on to the border. The problems caused by the massive influx of illegals into this country are many, so many, that we don't even know the exact negative impact. Here's just a few. Number one, economic burden. According to the Federation for American Immigration Reform, also known as FAIR, the economic impact of illegal immigration costs taxpayers $150.7 billion per year. That's an unfathomable amount of money. Basically, it's what the machine paid for what they hope will be a massive influx of new Democratic voters, and it's not okay. Number two, education. FAIR approximates that there are 5.1 K-12 students who are either illegally or the children of parents here illegally. These additional students, who due to language barriers are already tougher to educate and are overwhelmingly burdening the local educational systems. It costs the state and local governments $73.3 billion annually. That's not okay. Number three, healthcare. Under the law, illegal immigrants should not receive federally subsidized health care and are ineligible for subsidies under the Affordable Care Act. However, many states allow them to collect medical welfare. Overall, FAIR estimates that the taxpayer is hit with $23.1 billion in federal medical expenditures for illegals, with state and local governments spending an additional $18.6 billion. That's not okay. Number four, welfare. Illegal immigration dramatically impacts and burdens welfare programs intended for Americans in poverty. The U.S.-born children of illegal migrants can receive direct benefits from welfare programs such as SNAP, TANF, and WIC. Every state has made illegal immigrants eligible to benefit from WIC. Overall, the American taxpayers charged an additional $13.6 billion in federal and state welfare benefits due to illegal immigration. That's not okay. Number five, crime. The mass importation of illegal immigrants is absolutely breaking the law. We don't have to wait for them to commit a crime to deport them. They already have just by being here. When you break the law in this country, we ensure that whatever penalty is associated with that crime is enforced, or at least we used to. The penalty for crossing our border illegally is deportation, period. Why do we have these laws? It seems like common sense to me, but just in case anyone forgets why, allowing people to come into this country illegally, especially in huge numbers, increases crime, drains the resources of law enforcement, and gives nefarious organizations such as drug cartels and terrorist groups access to our nation. These cartels use brutal violence for control and are increasingly responsible for U.S. gang activity, drug trafficking, and human trafficking. That's not okay. Number six, social costs. The extreme pace of illegal immigration is especially harmful to the fabric of this country. With wide open borders and millions of people flooding into our country, often unchecked, we expose ourselves to rampant homelessness, increased drug accessibility, and threats to our national unity. That's not okay. Number seven, assimilation. This is one aspect that particularly frustrates me. If you want to come into this country, fine, but you have to do it legally, and you have to conform to our customs and our way of life. If you don't like our customs, go somewhere else. Don't try to change ours. As a country, we have always been open to new ideas, but don't you waltz in here and try to get sympathy and ask us to change everything just to make it easier for you. We are the ones who decide, through legal means and or constitutional amendments, what changes, if any, are made. With this dramatic influx of illegals, it's now more difficult to ensure assimilation. Anyone coming in this country must respect our laws and must be fluent in English. That's not okay. Okay, here's my final topic, healthcare. The track we are on currently in healthcare is headed for a train wreck. Some very smart people who have been recruited by the machine have figured out that ordinary people will pay an inordinate amount of money for healthcare because, whether we realize it or not, our health is our greatest wealth and asset. Your healthy body gives you the strength and energy that helps you to achieve better results in every aspect of your life. That is why healthcare is a target for those trying to control our lives. The United States has one of the highest costs of healthcare in the world. In 2022, U.S. healthcare spending reached $4.5 trillion with a T, which averages to $13,493 per person. By comparison, the average cost of healthcare per person in other wealthy countries is less than half that. The large increase in healthcare costs in the past several years has been the administrative cost of insurance companies. And what that means is the number of people who are figuring out how to separate you from your money is growing. And they know that they can throw almost anything out there and it'll stick because people are afraid of getting sick. Currently, insurance pays medical providers for quantity, not quality. We have to turn that around 180 degrees. We want to live happy and comfortable lives. The bottom line is, we have to take control of our health. That means doing all of the things we need to do to be and stay healthy. It also means moderating our dependence on healthcare providers. I mean, seriously, we are a strong and healthy country, but the machine is trying to change that. If we become dependent on them to maintain health, we've just lost all of our power to keep them in check. And that's what they want, to be in complete control of everything we do, everything we say, and everything we feel. It has to stop. Don't go to the doctor. Heal yourself. Our independence and freedom depend on it. The path forward. This election will define the direction of the United States. Will we continue as a beacon of strength and generosity, or will we succumb to a machine-driven government indifferent to individual freedoms? For me, it's academic. We must choose to defend our freedoms and uphold the values that have made our country a benevolent global leader and make America great again.